Well, tonight we're taking a break from our regular sermon series, and we're looking at a particular topic because we had a visiting preacher in the morning who preached a one-off sermon, and so this gives us an opportunity to look at this topic in the evening. So, I might pray. I might ask God to help me and to help you as we try to make sense of his word and apply it for our lives. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, please help us now. Please help me to speak clearly, speak in a way that honours you. Please help everyone listening here to make sense of your word, to realise who they are before you, and how that affects our relationships here on earth. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how do you honour your parents while also honouring Christ? As I've met up with a number of you here and I've talked with you and I've heard some of your life story, I've come to realise that this is a question that a lot of you are struggling with in different ways. I'm aware of maybe kind of three main categories that you might fit into. Some of you have parents who expect to have quite a bit of control over the decisions you make in life, like your study pathway, especially if they're the ones paying for it, like the kind of jobs that you go for. I read a story during the week about a guy from a Korean background who said that his parents gave him three options for a career. What would those three options be? Doctor, engineer, and business. And anyway, this guy was talking with a Chinese background guy who said, "Oh, no, my parents are way more open-minded than that. My parents said I can be doctor, engineer, businessman, or lawyer." Maybe you can relate to that. Your parents may have specific requirements for the sort of person that you should marry. In fact, they might feel that it's their job to make sure you marry someone who fits those requirements. They might feel that until you're married, that you're in some ways still a child who needs firm guidance. On the other hand, for some of you here tonight, your parents might not have those kinds of expectations. Growing up in an Anglo-Aussie family, I remember the day when my mum said to me, "Oh, well, you're 18 now, so we can't really tell you what to do, but we would just still appreciate it if you let us know when you're going to be home for dinner." And so choices about study and job and marriage were left entirely up to me. And, okay, my parents were still concerned that I made good decisions in all of those areas, but they saw their role as being very much hands-off. And some of you here tonight might be able to relate to that. And then there are some of you here tonight who don't have parents anymore. And so this, well, some of this tonight might not be stuff that you're personally working through, but we're a community, and as members of the community, we all have a role to play in helping each other figure it out and supporting each other and encouraging each other to be wise and godly in all our relationships, including our relationships with parents. And so I'm conscious that there's a broad range of people here, and I don't expect to be able to really fully work through the exact challenges that you're facing. But what I have done is I've written up some discussion questions, which I've put over on the tables in the hall, and I'd encourage you at dinner time to chat through these together and to use that to help you to apply God's word more specifically. What I want to do in here is to begin by thinking about the change of identity that happens when we believe in Christ. Because I think actually it's who you understand yourself to be in relation to God and in relation to your parents that will shape how you relate to God and to your parents. And then after thinking about that, I want to look at those two short stories from the life of Jesus that we just read and see some of what he said about family. And then at the end, I'll try to move us towards some things that we can apply in our own lives. So, our identity. We are all born into a family of some sort. It's our families in the beginning who feed us, protect us, give us our first impressions about what's right or wrong. It's from our parents that we inherit so much of our personality. It's from our parents that we inherit our cultural identity. For families to function well, the Bible says parents must teach and care for their children, and children must honour and obey their parents. But of course, we live in a world where family life is not what it could be, and in some ways goes profoundly wrong. We live in a fallen world where parents are deeply flawed, and so are their children. The Bible tells us about God's rescue plan for our broken society. The Bible tells us that God is the true and good Father, that he sent his son Jesus into this world to call people into a new family. For example, John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, that's Jesus, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Jesus described what happens to us as like a new birth, a rebirth. And so if you have received Jesus, you have joined his family. You've joined a family where you honour God as your heavenly Father, where you look to Jesus as your good older brother, and where you call fellow Christians brother and sister. So this is a new identity. What does this new identity mean for our relationship to our human parents? Well, let's look at those two stories from the life of Jesus. The first story comes from Mark chapter 3. Perhaps you could turn to, what was it, page 1428. The background is that Jesus is an adult, and as an adult, he's begun doing the work that God sent him to do. He's been teaching about the kingdom of God. He's been healing. He's been confronting the powers of evil. And Jesus has become famous. He's become so well known that people are coming from all over the place to see him. Chapter 3, verse 20 gives a little bit of context to what we read. It says, "Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat." So it's getting hectic. Jesus' family start to get worried. Because think about it, Jesus, he's 30 years old, he's not married yet, he's left behind a good job in the family business, and now there are so many needy people all around him that he can't even take a proper lunch break. And from the point of view of Jesus' Middle Eastern mum, that's a sign that this kingdom of God thing that Jesus is doing has just gone too far. The boy must eat. So verse 21, when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." So that's the context. Now you skip down to where we started reading. Verse 31, Jesus' mother and brothers turn up. And they send a message into the house saying, tell Jesus to come out here now. We're going to take him home. Verse 34. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. So do you notice in this scene, it's those who are learning from Jesus who are the inner circle close to him. And in this scene, it's his human family who are outside and are opposing him. And Jesus more or less says no to his human family. No, I'm not going to pull out of the mission that God gave me just to meet your worldly expectations. For Jesus, doing what his heavenly Father wants is more important than doing what Mum wants. It's more important at this moment for Jesus to serve the needs of God's family than to satisfy his human family. Now, for some of you, that way of thinking that, hang on, God demands a loyalty that's beyond your own family, that might just go right against everything that your home culture has taught you. But I think we've got to realize this goes right against Jesus' home culture. Because in general, all the different human cultures are geared in different ways towards worldly achievements, wealth, status, comfort, whatever those things look like in each culture. Generally speaking, our cultures don't encourage us to be dedicated servants of God's kingdom. But for Jesus, dedication to God's kingdom is not negotiable. So what does this mean for our human parents? Do we just leave them behind? Well, not quite. This is where we can turn over to the second story, Mark chapter 7, just a few pages further on. Mark chapter 7, verse 9. Jesus is arguing with the religious people who are more influenced by human traditions than by God's word. And he talks with them about this tradition from that time called Korban. What's Korban? Well, let me explain. It started as a way of donating your stuff to God's temple and God's work. It's a little bit like today, someone might, you know, how people like write their will and say, you know, when I die, this goes to my eldest daughter and this goes to here and you know, I want this to go to the church. It sounds generous. But from what Jesus says, they had a very tricky way of doing it. See, imagine in those days somebody had something that was worth a bit of money. I don't know what they would have had. Let's say like a table. And more or less, this idea is that you whack a sticker on it saying, Korban, that's going to get given to God when I die. It's kind of a double win, because not only can you keep on using the table while you're still living, but then when you die, you know, that they had this kind of mentality that maybe when I die, it gets given to God and I get like extra points from God. And the problem is that their poor parents are in old age, their parents are retired from work, there's no Centrelink, and the kids just say, oh, sorry, Mum and Dad, look, all the stuff I've got, look, it's all Korban, it's my responsibility to give it to God. I can't possibly sell it to look after you guys. And so verse 9, Jesus continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. That's Jesus being sarcastic. Because Jesus is saying one of the famous 10 commandments from God's word is honor your father and mother. And according to Jesus, you can't be obeying your heavenly father unless you are also honoring your earthly mother and father. And Jesus says, honoring your parents is not just smiles and a friendly chat, although that might be part of it. It's taking responsibility for their needs when they have needs. That's what Jesus himself did. Do you remember the story when Jesus was on the cross? Jesus is dying. Jesus is going through all the stress and pain, and he took time to make arrangements for someone to look after his mother in her old age. You can find that in John chapter 19. Can I say this passage should be a challenge to those of you from more individualistic cultures? Like in general, Aussies have dropped the ball when it comes to caring for family and caring especially for the elderly. There's a royal commission about to kick off into aged care, and I think it's going to bring out just how lonely and how neglected many of our older generation are. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Anyone who does not provide for their own relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." They're really strong words, but that's what the Bible says. Okay, so how do we move towards, we've got these two stories, and it's interesting, like there's a whole lot of times where Jesus says stuff that kind of sounds anti-family, and then there's a whole lot of times where he says stuff that's really for the family. How do we move towards applying this to our own situation? Well, can I give you three principles to think through? First of all, we should expect some level of tension to exist between honouring Christ and honouring parents, because we belong to two fathers. We belong to one father who is temporary and also flawed, a father whose expectations are sometimes right but not always reasonable and right. And of course, we belong to another father who is perfect and eternal and loves you unconditionally. And actually, I think most of the time, obedience to parents and obedience to Christ actually lines up, especially when you're young. Because when you're a child, that wake up, brush your teeth, go to school, clean your room, all of that, I think those things generally, that lines up with what God wants. God expects you to do what you're told. However, it's not always possible to obey both Christ and your parents. In some situations, you may have to make a choice. That's what happened in that first story. I know someone whose parents at one time forbid her to go to church, who ordered her to worship the local gods. And that was a point, I mean, they actually locked her in her room. And that's when she just had to say, "Sorry, Mum and Dad, what can I do? I believe that Jesus alone is Lord." Okay, third principle, even in the situations where you can't obey your parents, you can still honour them. You can honour them. Here's some practical ways to think through how you can honour your parents. You can honour them in the way you listen. You may not like some of the things that your parents have to say about your career or about marriage, but don't be too quick to dismiss it. Because it's very unlikely that your parents are pushing you in a certain direction because they want you to be miserable. They probably want you to have a better life than they did. And they've got experience in life. Like there's no course on parenting, but one thing you can guarantee is that, like, the parent has been alive longer than the child. So your parents have wisdom in many areas. And it honours your parents to really try to understand where they're coming from. There was a teenage Christian who lived in Egypt about 200 AD. His name was Origen. And he lived during the time where Christianity was illegal, and from time to time, Christians were arrested by the Roman soldiers and executed. And during one of the persecutions, this guy, Origen, decided, you know, he was a teenager, he was full on for Jesus, he decided that he wanted to go out into the street and announce himself as a Christian and give up his life for Jesus. And his mum said, "Oh no, you're not." And she hid his clothes so that he couldn't go outside. Now, in hindsight, you know, he had good intentions, but not a lot of wisdom at that time. In hindsight, Mum's way was actually a wise one, because Origen grew to become a Christian teacher and a trainer and a writer, and he fruitfully served Jesus and was a blessing to Jesus' people for another 50 years after that, before he was eventually martyred for his faith. You can honour your parents in the way you speak. You can be respectful and thoughtful and affectionate. And if there are difficult things to discuss, it may be wise to be patient, to work through it over a period of time, to keep channels of communication open rather than just expecting your parents to accept whatever it is that you've decided you want on the spot. You can honour your parents in the way you put aside your personal ambitions. I read one story of a guy who he became convinced that God wanted him to serve full-time in the work of the gospel. But this is what he says. He says, "Because it was important for my parents that I have a graduate degree and professional work experience, I went to law school and practiced law for 2 years before pursuing ministry as a way of honouring them." That's not the only way to honour them, but that's something worth considering. Sometimes we're in more of a rush than Jesus is. You can honour your parents. Oops, I didn't put this one in the thing. But another point is, you can honour your parents in the way you consider their needs. Obviously, your parents have physical needs, especially in old age. But your parents also have spiritual needs. Have you thought about that? I read about a 15-year-old boy who he wrote to his pastor. The short version of what he said is, "Hey, pastor, my parents are kind of Christians, but I just don't think they get it. I don't think they really get the good news of God's grace." And I want to read out part of the pastor's reply. He said, "Well, instead of going to bed at night angry at your dad, frustrated with your dad, disappointed with your dad, how about going to bed at night praying for your dad, longing that some things that the Lord is teaching you could become a blessing to your dad? Believe it or not, there are kids that in their 30s, 40s, 50s never have learnt to do this. They never have. They're still angry at dad. They're still angry at mum. All they think about is what they didn't get, rather than how they might minister now to a broken dad, a broken mum who never quite got it right." Which leads to the last thing. You can honour your parents in the way that you forgive them. I know, I've sat with many of you, I know that there are some here who have been wounded by your parents, by either things they've done or things they've failed to do. You may be living with the wounds of knowing that you just never quite matched up to everything they expected of you. For some of you, those wounds are deep. But if we're disappointed, think about this. If we're disappointed in our parents, then it can only be because in our hearts we are longing for something better. We are longing for a perfect parent. And I want to suggest that the only way that you'll be able to ever forgive your parents is by embracing the new identity that you get when you have God as your heavenly Father. See, what I mean is when you're accepted as a child of God, God credits you with the life of Jesus. God says, everything I expect of you has been fulfilled in Jesus. He's done it all. I don't need anything more. And what does that mean? That means you don't have to prove yourself anymore. You don't have to prove yourself to God. When you're accepted as a child of God, you receive an unconditional love, which actually goes beyond anything that our earthly parents are able to give. And how this affects your relationship with your parents is that, well, you don't need your parents to be the perfect parents anymore. Let God be that. You can actually relate to your parents knowing that they're faulty and they're flawed, just like you are. And your parents need grace just like I do. And so that it's in knowing the love of our Heavenly Father that we are enabled to forgive our earthly fathers. And so how are you going to honour your particular parents in your particular situation? Well, figuring that out will need a lot of prayer, a lot of humility, a lot of wisdom. But it's worth working through, because honouring our parents is part of how we honour and obey our eternal Heavenly Father, who is worthy of all honour and all obedience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what great love you have shown to us beyond what we deserve. What an amazing thing it is that Jesus has lived perfectly in our place, has fully pleased you in our place. Father, from this love that you show to us, from the security of knowing your love, please enable us to honour and bless and serve our earthly parents. Please give us wisdom to know how to be dedicated to you and your kingdom, and yet also show the honour and the respect that that we should show to our earthly parents. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.